technique.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Did you know there's a new way to listen to our station on the radio? What if we told you that it's clearer, stronger, and the best way to listen? You probably believe that. If you have an HD radio in your car, you need to check out 97.9 HD2. If you start listening on 97.9 HD2, you won't have to worry about changing your station ever again. Unless I say something stupid. In which, hey, you're a Blank fan. 97.9 HD2. Big trade in the NFL. That might be a little bit of an oversell. Big trade in the NFL? Medium trade in the NFL?
Medium trade.
I mean, he's a former first rounder.
He was, but I think that's probably more of a sign that he's just been a little less than what a first-round wide receiver is supposed to be.
Yeah, he was, I think it's fair to call him...
Busty?
He's been a little busty.
You could say he's a bust.
Been a little busty.
I think he had a pretty decent rookie season. At least his touchdown total was good. I think he had 7 in his rookie year. But, yeah, he's been very disappointing in the two seasons following that.
I think he's busty. If he was a bust, he wouldn't be in the league.
He could be a bust and still be in the league.
I mean, he's still in his first contract.
Yeah. Like a bad quarter, like Trubisky, you would call a bust. He still hangs around the league for a long time.
He made a Pro Bowl.
He's a bust.
Made a Pro Bowl. He went to the playoffs one year, too, didn't he?
So did Vince.
It's true. Good counterpoint.
Hook him.
Yeah, he was a former first-round pick. He got traded today, Jahan Dotson. I've been reading reports about how, like, I keep up with these skill position guys way too much. The Commanders didn't make it a secret that they were not too pleased with Jahan Dotson. I didn't think he was going to get to the point of trading them, but he's fallen out of favor there. And I think a good example of him falling out of favor is the fact that they traded him in division. It's like, we think so little of this guy. We don't care if he goes to 100%. A division rival. Yep. But the trade today, the Eagles sending a third round pick and two sevenths to Washington. They get Dotson in a 2025 fifth round pick. And there are some out there, I guess they forget what Jahan Dotson has done in his first couple of years in the NFL, but Dane Brugler, chief among them, that says the Eagles now have the best wide receiver trio in the NFL.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
You just made the list.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me you don't watch football nearly enough, if that's your opinion, to make a statement like that. I mean, Tank has excelled his first year. Nico obviously was one of the top 10 wide receivers in the league last year, and you yet add a guy that's been a perennial top 10 type receiver in the league. That's not even close.
See, I don't think much of Dotson. So, I would drop the Eagles down pretty far. I would have the Texans ahead of them. I would have the Bears. I would have the Bears ahead of the Commanders, because the Bears have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and then a top 10 current first rounder. Dotson's he's not a washed up first rounder. He's just a first rounder that hasn't lived up to the hype. I would have them ahead of the Eagles.
It comes down to when we had these conversations in the past. If you're talking about duos, now the Eagles are way up there, but it's going to come down to the third receiver, because you have to have that third guy that's at a certain level. And if you don't, like Miami, Miami's got an unbelievable twosome, but who's their third receiver?
Yeah.
Where does that put them?
I would – Texans are my number one. Am I biased there? Maybe.
No, I'm with you.
But I have the Bears up there. Does anybody break out from Miami? They signed Odell, but there's thoughts that Odell might be the Will Fuller treatment, where he signed a contract and is not going to play. Mm-hmm. They don't even know if he's going to play. So it's hard to – and Malik Washington, young, hasn't really done anything in the NFL. So, you couldn't have him there.
Niners?
Who's the Bengals third?
Niners and Bengals are the first two that we haven't mentioned.
Their third is probably Jermaine Burton, rookie.
He's their third most talented. I don't know if he's going to be their third most productive. Because they have that Iglesias guy or whatever, however you pronounce his
name. The Niners drafted the kid from Florida.
Personal. But, that's good.
But Ayuk.
Assuming Ayuk stays,
if we're considering Ayuk's going to play for them, then that's a pretty good
trio. He's currently on their roster. I have to assume.
They would currently be up there.
Who is Ayuk currently employed by? It's the Niners. So I would have to say the Niners are up there for sure.
They are.
Would you put the, not to blow smoke up Joel's ass, but would you put the Packers up there?
Packers are pretty good.
They're loaded, but the key is, can you clearly define the top three?
Yes.
That's
absolutely.
That's
Reed, Watson's our second best receiver.
Watson, Reed, and who?
Dobbs. Although Wicks ain't bad.
Wicks is really good.
Although Wicks ain't bad. Seattle's good. Seattle's sleepy.
Yeah. Good BK. Jackson Smith and Jigba's the third.
Lockett's a little long in the tooth. Like, give me Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and Brian McDonald. I'll take that over the Eagles.
I was thinking Minnesota as well, yeah.
From a duo perspective, that's
you can't factor in who's throwing them the football, but just on paper, that's a pretty good start.
See, I think the Eagles duo, top three. I just don't think that much of Jahan Dotson. And we've seen, like, he hasn't lived up to the potential in his first couple of years. The Commanders, who have a new coaching staff, quit on him. Like, he's still in his rookie deal. They quit on him. They don't really have a very good number two receiver. They have Terry McLaurin. They drafted Christian McCaffrey's brother out of Rice. They have, like, that Olamide Zahuris guy. They don't have a second receiver, yet they were willing to trade him to a division rival. Like, what they're telling me screams so loud I cannot hear. That's where I'm at with Dotson.
It's like it's almost all of the above. If you say, is he an attitude problem? Is he, you know, not get grabbing the system? And is it route running? It seems like it's all of the above. If you cut out before your rookie deal expires, that means you've tried everything, you've exhausted it, and you're just done.
Especially when you factor in who their offensive coordinator is. It's not like it's some run first, you know, the tough guy, old school football coach. It's Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, he's a passing game coordinator, and he looked at Dotson's like, nah. Let's send them in division.
Yeah, like their receivers just aren't there. Like, I think McLaurin's going to have a huge year because who else is Jalen Daniels going to throw the football to? Because they have Dyami Brown, okay? They have Olamide Zaccheaus, bless you, Luke McCaffrey, Jamison Crowder. Like,
only problem is the guys. Rumor there, right?
These are the guys, the rumors
the
that they're in
the
on
rumors
Ayuk.
They're clearing space because receivers prefer Ayuk.
I think that's kind of one of those people who are like, okay, let's put two and two together. Because Dotson was not getting in the way of you trading for Ayuk. Like, it's not like they're clearing this cap space so they can bring in Ayuk. He's on a rookie deal. And maybe the 49ers, who have been wanting your receiver as part of a trade, would have interest in Dotson. So I don't think there's correlation there.
I think the biggest sign that you guys mentioned is the if not they dumped out and they exhausted all the resources – you're not trading him in division if you think he can come back to haunt you. We talked about this the other day with quarterbacks. You're not going to trade him to an opponent that you're going to see twice a year and know that he could basically burn you. So if they're definitely not worried about him if they're going to dump him in division.
No, not at all. And I'm not – they're to me, they're not a top three, top five trio in the NFL. Devil's advocate thing here, maybe they just know they're in a really rebuilding situation and they just don't really care about trading a team, trading a player in division because they think that they're going to win four games and they're kind of looking for the future. Anyways.
Yeah, but if they're looking for the future and a young guy on a rookie deal that you can continue
to
try to develop.
They don't like him.
Yeah, maybe because it was previous regime drafted him.
Well, I don't think that they like the player, but if maybe the Eagles are getting a good player and they're taking advantage of a team that's already selling off pieces because they know they're like a rebuilding team. It's, yes, a young player. You would think that a rebuilding team would keep a young player, but a guy they just don't like. And I've been keeping up with their beat guys. They've been saying for like 3 weeks that they don't like them. So it's like it's not a secret. It wasn't a secret that they don't like Dotson. 713-780-3776. Is this the Keith that gives us old receivers?
I was just thinking of who he's going to pull.
It might be. I didn't say Sam screened this call.
Keith's going to ask us if the Texans should sign Cecil Shorts. All right, Keith, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys. Yep. Love the conversation about threesome receivers. I got two teams, underrated, top three receivers you didn't mention. First team. The Cleveland Browns, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, and Elijah Moore. Second team, underrated, you didn't mention, the Tennessee Titans, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, and recently acquired Tyler Boyd.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
You didn't go with Treylon Burks, huh? See, I think the Browns' two receivers, Amari, overrated, actually. I'm not huge on Jerry Jeudy.
No.
I think he's actually a guy who is overdrafted that hasn't lived up to his hype. Yeah.
And Elijah Moore's a bum. He hasn't done anything in the league.
He's okay, but he's a guy. He's a guy who's going to be a third,
not even
fourth,
a top
fifth
half
receiver.
Trio.
Like, no. I don't think like Amari's consistently. He can go off. Obviously, the Texans
saw
good. That. Yeah.
I think Judy's overrated. So that's why I didn't mention the Browns. Elijah Moore's okay. Like, and I don't think they want Elijah Moore to be their third receiver. I think they would like Cedric Tillman to take off and surpass him on their depth chart. Titans,
That's not bad.
It's okay. I wouldn't put it ahead of, like, Seattle. Like, it's probably maybe inside the top 10, but certainly not top 5.
No, I don't think it's top 5.
And then Hopkins a little older. What are you getting out of him? He's entering the season with an ailment. Tyler Boyd. I think Tyler Boyd's going to be big for Will Levis in that offense. I think the big acquisition of Boyd was because he knows that offense. He knows Callahan's offense. So I think his addition is going to be bigger on that front, that he's like a kind of a veteran, a leader. And then, I mean, that was one bad drop,
though. I know. I'm just
– And then who was there?
Ridley.
I think Ridley's a little overrated. Ridley did not play well against the Texans last year.
Nope.
He dropped some critical passes, like more than one.
Drops in some of the route running. It seemed like he was getting into it a couple of different times after passes, too, where, I think I put Ridley in the same kind of a category as a Judy.
Yeah, I see. I think Ridley's good. I don't think Ridley's as good as people think Ridley's good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, people think Ridley is like an 8. I think he's like a 6.5.
Yeah, the Falcons drafted him to be the heir apparent to Julio Jones to be a future one, and I don't think he's a high-end 1. I think he's a high-end 2.
And I know
that's kind of the difference.
Yeah. Or a very low-end 1.
Yeah, very low-end 1 or a high-end 2, but that's not what he was drafted to be.
And I know he's had some issues in his career, gambling and stuff. Mm-hmm. How many players at his age that are true wide receiver 1s have been on 3 teams?
That's a good
3
point.
Teams. Yeah. That doesn't happen.
No.
Like, maybe 2. Well, maybe Tyreek Hill. I want too much money.
Terrell Owens.
But he's a problem.
I know. I'm trying to think of guys who were really good.
Even Owens, though, took a while.
And Randy Moss, obviously, but same thing. He was a problem in a couple places.
Like, how old was Terrell Owens before he left San Francisco, though? Like,
Did Antonio Brown make 3 teams?
Terrell Owens didn't leave San Francisco until he was 30.
He made 3 teams because he played for the Patriots and he also played for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, but
and
late in his career. Like, you're talking about.
He never actually played for the Raiders. But, he was cut. Yeah. He was released before the season started.
We are talking about guys who started playing on multiple teams in their 30s. Calvin Ridley is going to be 30 this year. So he's going to be on his 3rd NFL team by the age of 30. Terrell Owens stayed in San Francisco all the way through age 30.
Yeah.
Was he really that old when he went to Philly?
Yeah, he spent, let's see, 4,
he was great in Philly. He was still very productive.
He spent 8 years in San Francisco. I think Antonio Brown probably was close to 5-7 years in Pittsburgh.
I think Owens still answers the question, though, because he was good for San Francisco, he was good for Philly, and he was good for Dallas. So that's 3 teams he was really good for.
Sure, but it was later in career. It was later in the career. Like, how many guys that, before they turned 30 years old, have been on 3 teams and
that I'm unsure
even
of.
Antonio Brown was with the Steelers through the age of 30. Through the age of 30.
Yeah, team to the point, through when you're 30. Good and with your first team's going to hang on to you through your prime, or at least an extended period of time.
Yeah, and Ridley's already on his 3rd team before he entered 30. Randy Moss was through his age 27 year. So he was with Minnesota until he was 27, went to Oakland for 2 years, and then was with the Patriots his 3rd
team. So that's age 30.
So he would be maybe the only one of these elite wide receiver ones that had that same trajectory as Calvin Ridley.
But even still, Minnesota was capitalizing. His greatest years were Minnesota wasn't going to let him go.
Yeah, and he led the league in passing touchdown receptions for 3 years, in 3 different years. Calvin Ridley's never led the league in anything.
Right?
Like Randy Moss was the best receiver in the NFL at his time. Ridley's never been close to the best receiver in the NFL.
No.
I think he's a little overrated.
I think it's also funny from the Tennessee perspective, too, that Burks, just like you mentioned, Brian, that Judy was supposed to be the replacement for Atlanta's big receiver.
Oh, you mean Calvin Ridley was supposed to be
for Julio Jones. Well, Treylon Burks was supposed to be the A.J. Brown replacement.
Yeah. One for one, because they traded
him
for
not
first.
Even, we're not even considering him in their best 3, and he's still there.
Yeah, I think we could label him a bust at this
huge
point.
Bust.
Yeah,
he's not been good. Apparently he's getting runs with the ones, though. A bunch of people saying the Rams. I've been hearing good things about rookie Jordan Whittington out of Texas. Did he play at Cuero High? I think he played for the Gobblers.
Never a top target for the Longhorns. He was always kind of a slot receiver for
them. I don't think he's their 3rd best receiver, though.
Cup's
I
the big question mark.
Yeah, I mean, he's easier than number
2,
though.
I think Cup's going to be good.
I think their number 3 is DeMarcus Robinson.
He was last year.
Texans should trade Woods to the Commanders. I don't think the Commanders are looking to add players of that age. 713-780-3776.
Oh, another name popped up. I don't know if he's obviously not elite as far in terms of putting him side by side with Terrell Owens and Randy Moss, but Brandon Cooks was a guy that was on team after team after team, 1,000 yards everywhere he went with the Patriots, the Saints, and then the Rams.
But another good one that everybody's letting us know is Stephon Diggs.
Very true.
Although he didn't get to the Texans until after he already turned 30.
Yeah, he was a year late.
Yeah.
A year late, but he will become three teams at the age of 31.
Kind of applies,
yeah, I think it's very, very close.
Indy's got good young receivers, right?
Michael Pittman is really good.
Yeah, Pittman, they have
I like Josh Downs, but he's hurt.
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell they drafted this year.
The reports on him haven't been good.
And then I've heard different reports. And then Alec Pierce is there. I think Alec Pierce is a little underrated.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, I like Alec Pierce.
Alec Pierce hasn't done anything.
I think it's because they're misusing him, and I don't think they've had very good quarterback play. I like Alec Pierce. Not as like a top two
receiver. He's a decent deep threat. I don't think he's ever going to be consistent.
I like Alec Pierce if he's my number three, number four guy.
That's fair.
I don't like him as a top two receiver.
As a four, that's fine.
And I think they've misused him. But they also have Anthony Richardson, so none of those guys are going to have that production. All right, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Blanker's got his wish, why he's so happy that Hector Neris is back with the Stros. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Blankers is over the moon about the Astros adding Hector Neris. Why are you so happy?
Well, I'm happy because of the fact that I wanted them to keep him all along, and I knew the price tag was the reason why they didn't, and now you're not going to pay an exorbitant amount of money, and I understand that he didn't have a great year with the Cubs, but it wasn't a disaster, and when I look at the bullpen, and Presley's currently on the IL, and it seems like Taylor Scott has slipped a little bit lately in appearances, but you look at it and you go, you can never have enough good bullpen arms. Is he better than Dubin? Yes. Is he better than Caleb Ferguson? Yes. Is he better than Seth Martinez? Yes. Has he had success here in Houston? Yes. Has he been a closer and in high-leverage situations before? Yes. So he's checking all the boxes for me to say, do I have more trust in him, more belief in him, and do I think he's better than several arms that they currently have in the bullpen? Absolutely. And then when you're waiting, you know, Ort's currently on paternity leave, then you're going to get him back. I know that, and he throws a hundo. But in the big situations, has he been on that big stage before? Has he been through those kind of things? And then we just saw it with Kikuchi. You bring him back into a situation he's comfortable in, where he really liked it here, and he had success. And if Miller and Murphy had anything at all to do with that, whether it goes back to the sequencing and pitch usage to just other things, I just really believe that this is a guy that can be a guy that can flourish here at the end of the season and be a shot in the arm for this team, as opposed to some of the guys that they turn the baseball over to.
Where do you have him fitting in the pecking order?
I think I got to see him first. I mean, I understand that, you know, in Chicago, his ERA was in the high threes. So I got to see, you know, where he's at. But I think that he's over Ferguson to me. He's over Dubin to me. He's over, you know, if Ort was there, he'd be over Ort to me. He's over Seth Martinez to me. I think that ideally, I'd like him to fit somewhere in that Montero role with Taylor Scott. If it's one or the other and Taylor Scott still is that Montero role, and he's kind of, when guys have been used 2 days in a row or things like that, that you can, but he's right there in that pecking order, right under when you get to Hader and Abreu, and with Presley out, if Taylor Scott is that guy, then I would put him right behind them.
I would have to go Ort over Neris. I'll play devil's advocate here for the sake of it. I was okay with Neris being signed by the Astros. You know, I said this yesterday when we talked about it. I was leaving this to Dana Brown. Like, if they think that they can get the best out of Hector Neris, then okay, it makes sense. If they felt like he was washed at the, you know, ripe age of 35 years old, okay, I would understand that too. So I was leaving it up to them. Like, they've earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to finding these pitchers and then bringing the most out of them. I don't like the Yusei Kikuchi comparison. Like, Yusei Kikuchi is like kind of in the prime of his pitching career and has excellent stuff, whereas Hector Neris is 35 and has lost a little bit of his spin. So, like, is it something he can regain? Like, you can't teach a guy spin, not at this stage of their career anyways. He was also not good in Chicago. Like, the ERA is okay-ish. The whip was 1.5. Last year was like at 1. So it's went up a lot from where it was a year ago. The advanced stuff doesn't like him. Like, they don't like his whiff percentage. K percentage is all low. Some of the worst in baseball. His command has been awful. One of the worst walk rates in all of baseball. So Yeah, I mean, it's low risk. So, like, mm-hmm. I don't despise it. Like, it's fine. And you have guys in your bullpen that, okay, you have to send down Sean Dubin. Oh, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. You have to send down Seth Martinez. I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. Now, I'd rather have Caleb Ort. If you send down Caleb Ferguson or release Caleb Ferguson, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. You're also not picking up the salary. I haven't seen the contract terms, but I'm sure this is league minimum. So it's very low risk. If you get him in and he pitches awful for 2 weeks, you can just release him. It costs you almost nothing. So it's extremely low risk. Now, I don't think we should be looking at Hector Neris as to who he was last year. He was really, really good last year, one of the best relievers in baseball. And this year, he's been bottom half, worst relievers in baseball.
Well, that's why, I mean, I'll leave the door open. He's better. Already, I want him on the team, because even if he's your mop-up guy, better than the guys that we both agreed on, that he's better than already coming in.
But he's not going to eat innings. Like, mop-up guys, you want to be able to throw multiple innings, and he's not that. He's not a multi-inning guy.
Yeah, he's probably not that, but at the same time, would he be willing to do that if you needed him to? Sure. We just don't know how effective he's going to be. But to me, it's like, you know, I go back to what, you know, when Verlander said how different it was with the Mets than it was with the Astros. You're right. It might not change his spin rate, but maybe, you know, they spend more time with the videos and the mechanics and doing other things, to where maybe the ceiling and the biggest hope is that they can find something that maybe had, you know, slipped through the cracks, that he wasn't doing that he did here. But even on the low end, he costs you nothing, and he comes in and he's better than multiple guys that we rattled off that I would have more confidence in. And there's something sometimes for a guy to get out of a bad situation and a thing, something that wasn't working out for him, go back to a place where he had success, and maybe he can find something.
Yeah, it's low risk, so, like, it's fine. If Dana Brown signs off on it, Murphy and Miller are cool with it, okay. Like, let's see what it looks like, and the fact that it's low risk, who cares? 5348, it's wash, not wash. You're wrong. You must not be from the South. Adrian Neris is not better than Martinez this year?
Oh, I mean, maybe this year, just from the numbers perspective. And look, and I'm not bashing Seth Martinez, because he's continuously got better, and he's been good for this team. But I believe that if Neris can get the control under, you know, to back to where it was, if the splitter is anywhere and he's got fastball splitter combination, I'll take him. I believe in him in high leverage situations.
The traditional numbers favor Seth Martinez, and the advanced numbers favor Seth Martinez. Those are facts. Now, can Neris, like, get back to where he was last year? Because then that guy's way better than Seth Martinez. A month ago, y'all hated the Kikuchi deal. Yes, yep. That's true. Yep. I think the jury's still out on that. 0002, did Brown DFA Aledmys to bring in Hector Neris? No. He DFA'd Aledmys to bring up Shea Whitcomb?
Yep.
I think that was the corresponding move. 0979, I agree. They needed bullpen help. Them other guys been slumping and come into suspect. Yeah, I mean, Ferguson hasn't been very good since you acquired him. Taylor Scott's regressing a little. Everyday Tay, maybe he's been pitching too much.
I think so.
Presley's currently on the injury list, and Presley hasn't been very good. A question that I asked on Twitter, because Forrest Whitley's been pitching lights out, and of course, he's got a big arm. Would you rather have Forrest Whitley or Hector Neris?
See, at this stage of the season, I would lean Hector Neris from experience and the ability between the ears and everything to pitch. If you just want to tell me on arm strength alone and what, you know, Forrest Whitley brings to the table, I would understand that he's got that kind of Ort type fastball that can just blow people away. But can he pitch?
Yeah. They haven't they haven't called Neris up to the active roster. They're going to have to make a move on the 40-man, and they're going to have to make a move on the 26. So we'll see what a corresponding move is. We'll see when they bring up Neris. Probably Martinez.
Yeah.
Martinez is probably the easy answer, because Dubin gives you length. And, like, they want, especially with a six-man rotation, you have to have somebody in the bullpen that can eat two, three innings. Martinez can get you two, but Dubin's more of a long guy. And I think they tipped their hand the other day whenever they brought up Verlander, and they sit down Martinez and, like, oh, Caleb Ort's, you know, on paternity leave now. Oh, wish we would have known that an hour ago. And then brought Seth Martinez as he was en route to Sugarland. So I think they tipped their hand.
Yeah, I think Martinez is a better pitcher, but you're right. If Dubin can give you three or four mop-ups, or even in like an opener role like he's done in the past, yeah, Seth Martinez, maybe two. Right.
I think he's given you three once, but he's not really known to be a long guy as much as Dubin, and I think that's why they would prefer Dubin on the roster than Martinez. I agree, Martinez is better.
Yeah, better pitcher.
No doubt that. And then someone's asking us, what would our pitching staff be in the playoffs? You'd have to trim it down to 13. Some would even say 12. Like, a lot of times the Astros keep 12 in the division series, because you only play five games and you have two off days. What would your pitching staff be?
for 12 guys, you got to
stop. I think they might end up keeping 13 just because the offense is so bad. They might just do what they
so the no-brainers
not done.
Are Hunter Brown, Fromber, JV, and Blanco, right? And then Hader, Abreu, Presley, and Taylor Scott. So that's 8. And then...
Did you say Kikuchi?
Kikuchi's going to be 9. And is Arrighetti on that? Because I don't know if you need him, right?
It would be tight.
Yeah.
Would you have Arrighetti or would you rather have Neris?
See, and then I would go Neris, which would be 10, assuming he's got anything left in the tank.
Yeah.
And then, what, Ort?
I like Ort.
I do, too.
You didn't mention King.
And King is going to be also factored into the mix.
So you didn't have Whitley?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I would go Blanco, Fromber, Brown, Arrighetti, JV, Kikuchi, Hader, Abreu, Scott, Presley. That gets me to 10. I like King, 11.
Lefty, right?
And then I guess it's anybody's game after that, whether it's Whitley, whether it's Ferguson, whether it's Martinez, whether it's Dubin.
You put Ort on that list, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Ort, if you have Ort, then I don't really need Whitley.
Okay.
That's just my opinion, because I haven't seen Whitley in the big leagues get anybody out.
Neris has the it factor. He's subject to chase a hitter after a punch out. That is true. 5-3-4-8. Warsh is not a South thing. Try again, buddy. Yes, it is. 5-3-4-8. You need to get outside a little bit. 0-7-5-4. Sorry, just started listening. Is Neris going to cost anything? I'm glad he's back. Dude was fire. Hasn't been as fire this year. In fact, he's been way worse. They have not released the terms. I would imagine it's league minimum, though. Any chance Montero gets back on track to 0-2 or a 22 form and called back up? He's dominating in
Sugar Land. He's killing Sugar Land, but can he do it in the big leagues?
I don't think he gets called back up this year.
I don't either.
I don't think he gets called back up this year. Maybe he's on the roster next year to start the year, but I think he's done with the Astros in 2024.
I would agree.
Astros begin a series in 30 minutes at Baltimore. Should be challenging. Should be tough. Arrighetti goes up against Corbin Burnes, David Goliath in Baltimore today. Is he an Oriole or is he a
cast member of the show The Wire based in Baltimore?
If only we've done that before. All right, that's next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Mariners fired Scott Service. Their manager's going to be Dan Wilson.
Dan Wilson,
he's not been on the coaching staff all year. That's so awkward.
That is weird.
Awkward. Apparently, Edgar Martinez is going to be on the staff, too. So they're bringing him, too.
He used to be hitting coach for a while?
I don't know.
I think he used to be back a while, but I think Edgar Martinez was their hitting coach for a couple of years.
McTaggart tweeted, Espada said that Bregman could play defense during this road trip, including perhaps first base.
He's done it third all year.
I hope not, because that
takes
a bat out of the lineup. All right, let's get to it. Oriole or a cast member of The Wire? Real name or actor's name?
Real name of the actor.
So real name of the actor.
The character.
Not the character.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. All right.
Let's get started.
Andre Royal.
Age Before Beauty.
Oh, so I'm going for Andre Royal?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like a baseball. I'll go cast member or, yeah, cast member of The Wire.
Yeah, me too. Never heard of that guy.
Andre Royal played Reginald Bubbles' cousin.
Bubbles, there you go.
Oh, Bubbles was awesome.
Yeah.
He was homeless, like the Twitchers.
With his cart.
Yeah, he was homeless like the Twitchers.
Okay, J.D. Williams.
I've never heard of J.D. Williams. I'll go cast member of The Wire.
Yeah, this is Jeremy's favorite show, so when I have the chance, I'm just going to copy him.
I don't know actor names, though.
J.D. Williams, you're a good cast member.
Yeah.
Preston Bode Broaddus.
I don't remember who that one is.
Brody was his character name on The Wire.
Oh, is he one of the gangsters?
I think so. I don't know. I never watched the show. I'll go with it.
Then what made you say he was a gangster?
Because I went with it.
Oh, it was Bode. Not Brody. Bode.
I said Bode.
Oh, okay. I heard Brody. Yeah, I remember Bode. I remember Bode.
Okay. Birch Smith.
Birch Smith. Yeah. That sounds Brian's baseball to me. I'll go Oriole.
Yeah, I don't think a Birch is a member of The Wire. I'll go baseball player, too.
Indeed. Pitcher for the Orioles.
Okay. All right.
You guys are
3-0.
Yep. Seth Gilman.
Sounds like a plumber. Seth Gilman. I'll go a cast member of The Wire.
Okay. Same.
Sergeant J. Landsman.
Sergeant J. Which one? What does he look like?
J. Landsman.
Oh. He was the big boy.
Okay.
He's a big boy. What's funny about that?
Go ahead.
Seth Gilliam.
Isn't that you just said?
No, I did not. I said the.
Yeah, what was the previous name?
I did say just, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Colin Selby.
Colin what?
Colin Selby.
I have no idea. I've never heard of him. I'll say cast member of The Wire.
Can you tell me what position he played? How do you spell it?
S-E-L-B-Y.
S-E-L-B-E-Y?
S-E-L-B-Y.
S-E-L-B-E-Y. You said cast member?
L-E-Y. I said cast member.
Yeah, I'll go cast member, too.
Pitcher.
Oh, dang.
Damn.
Okay. Delaney Williams.
Delaney Williams. I'll go cast member.
Same. Cast member.
Sergeant J. Landsman on The Wire. Frankie Faison.
Frankie. I don't know if any baseball player goes by Frankie. I'm going to say cast member.
Frankie Montes.
Okay, you immediately refuted me. I'm still going cast member, though.
Yeah, I think he's a cast member.
Acting Commissioner Irvin Burrell.
All right, so we're 6-0.
We both missed one. Yeah, we both
5-1. This is the last one?
I got more if you
need
them.
Is this number 7?
This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes. No, this is 8.
Okay. So we're in the tiebreaker round.
Okay, yeah, tiebreaker. That's fine.
Okay. Cade Povich.
Am I first here?
I think I'm first.
Okay, go ahead.
Cade Povich. Is it related to Maury?
First thing I thought.
I'll go baseball player.
You know, for the sake of the game, I'll go Wire, so we end it here.
He won.
Damn.
Yep. Pitcher.
Yeah.
Damn.
I thought Levon Soto was too easy.
That's a baseball player, right?
Yeah, shortstop.
He's a shortstop?
Yep.
Did he get much burn?
He's the backup shortstop. Yeah, he doesn't play, but he plays behind Gunnar Henderson.
Ah, there we go. I'm happy about this.
You kill it in that game.
This is good.
He's a man of the people. Anyone's Baltimore Oriole or.
I'm really good at things that do not matter. I am excellent at things that do not matter.
Sports and things that don't matter.
Trivial things.
Yes, they don't matter.
Things that do not matter. You ever need somebody that to do something that doesn't matter, you give me a ring, and I'll turn you down. All right, what's your car wreck of the day? What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, I'm here to tell you about Vanderford Air. You can go to VanderfordAir.com, but we know right now it's triple digits. It's hot in Houston. It's going to be that way for a while. Your AC unit has got to be spick and span, top-notch, and ready to go, and you don't want anything to go happen to it. And if it does, you want someone that can help you immediately. That's why I'm here to tell you about Vanderford Air. Lock this number into your phone right now. Keep it there. You never know when you're going to need it. And maybe you should just call them and have them do a checkup on your system before it gets too late. 281-557-COOL. 281-557-COOL gets you in touch with Vanderford Air. The reason why I'm telling you about all this is because they take care of you every step of the way, and it's all guaranteed. From the standpoint of when you call them, they guarantee within 24 hours they're going to be out to see you. It's not going to take days to a week while they get the rest of their back orders all up to snuff and all the people that have been on their call list. No, 24 hours after you call them, they're there to see you. And then on top of that, everything they do, they will put it in writing. They'll tell you exactly what they will do and what it will cost if it's just a part that needs to be replaced. They'll also give you the exact same in writing description of a new system and what that would cost as well. And then it gets down to all the other guarantees. The parts or the systems they install are going to be fully guaranteed. The work that their employees are going to do is going to be fully guaranteed. And they're going to guarantee that whether it's a part that's fixed or a new system put in, the temperature is exactly where you want it to be and that your satisfaction is at the utmost. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Why would you not go? Why would you go to anywhere else? Because that's what you want from any company that offers you services, especially something so vital as air conditioning. They also can do a complete humidifier system inside your AC unit, and it can be whole house humidified, which is fantastic. They do plumbing. They do hot water heaters. They do so much more. But right now during AC season, you've got to get to Vanderford Air. It's VanderfordAir.com or 281-557-COOL.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, y'all, it's dinner time, so get out to these restaurants that are taking part in Houston Restaurant Weeks. Proud partner, ESPN 97.5 for Houston Restaurant Weeks. It's time to raise some money for the Houston Food Bank. For you, it's simple. Dine out, do good. Choose from over 400 restaurants to visit for lunch or dinner. Obviously, dinner right now. Select from their prefix menus, and a portion of the proceeds goes to the Houston Food Bank. Plus, you're supporting local restaurants. Got started August 1st. We're 3 weeks into it. Runs through September 2nd. Time's running out. Take advantage. Go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to find all the participating restaurants. Spencer Arrighetti and Corbin Burns in Baltimore tonight for the first of four. Astros are going to learn a lot about themselves in the next four games, I think.
Yeah.
They swept Baltimore at Minute Maid, and Baltimore's kind of going some things right now, too. So we'll see how it all turns out.
A darn good pitcher on the other side tonight.
Yeah, I think the last time the Astros faced Burns, they got maybe even the last two times.
Yeah, I think they had success against him. I'm not sure if he got the loss or not, but they got to him. And you mentioned it. They've had success against good pitchers this year.
Yeah, they got to Scooble and Garrett Cachet earlier in the year.
Yep. I'm just a little concerned about Mr. Arrighetti tonight.
Against that daunting Baltimore
talent
offense.
In that lineup.
Yeah.
5-4?
I think I'd rather have the unknown.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have the unknown.
I don't know if they can win with that.
Yeah, especially against Burns.
Not against Burns.
Yeah.
The Astros
go
got
the
Burns
unknown.
For
just
four
a
runs.
Feeling. I hope I'm wrong. But yeah.
No, I don't think you're far off, but I'll take the unknown because I don't think he can win with 5-4.
Yeah, I'm with you. Burns, 7 innings, 4 runs in the matchup this year. So it wasn't dreadful, but you know, a little bit worse than the norm for Burns. It was last year at Milwaukee in which the Astros touched up Burns for 5 runs in 5 innings. So maybe they got his number. Maybe they got his number.
Hope
we'll
so.
See. Arrighetti needs a bounce back, too.
He does.
He was really good in like his first, like his last 10 starts until his last one.
Yeah. I mean, really, we were riding the wave. And I don't think any of us, with the success of, you know, over several starts, we were thinking, okay, he's found it now. And then that one made me a little bit more concerned again.
Yeah. See how it goes for the Astros. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Just hit me. Why is the guy robbing him in a car wreck?
I don't remember that scene from The Sopranos that well, so I don't exactly remember.
Yeah, is that a robbery or just someone beating someone's rear end and they put it
telling,
in?
He's saying, give me my money.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think it's a car wreck.
I think he just put the auto sounds behind it to make it for car wreck. I think it was just a scene from.
Yeah, but why is he holding them up in a car wreck?
I don't think there was a car wreck in that scene. Which it sounds like we're calling out Michael Carroll for this, but
yeah,
or Joe.
It just
or both.
Hit. It just hit me.
Michael would have put it together.
I'm
not
like,
Joe.
What's going on here? Is this a car wreck? Is this a this guy robbing him?
I don't care. I like that. I like that sound. It doesn't even matter. I don't know. I don't care if it actually doesn't fit. That clip is funny to me.
Never let the fit get in the way of a good sounder.
Damn right.
What they said.
We can ask Michael Carroll. We can get to the bottom of it.
We can. Yeah, we'll interrogate him afterwards. Yeah.
All right, what are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What do you got, Blank?
The easiest one is the Mariners. I mean, you're still in it. You're in the playoffs. Yeah, you got swept by the Dodgers. But one, you're going to fire your manager. And two, you're going to bring in someone from the outside at this point in the season, and he's going to right the ship. It's an awful look.
What's he writing?
Writing the ship.
Yeah, Total Arlington also nominated the Mariners, which... I mean, what are you doing here, Total Arlington? You're worse than the Mariners.
Yeah, like,
are they 10 games under?
We can nominate his team pretty soon.
I'm nominating Total Arlington for nominating the Mariners.
Good
like,
call.
You're in a worse shape than the Mariners, Total Arlington. You're deflecting is what you're doing. I'm going to nominate the team that fired their managers having a better season than we are as we're defending our championship. You have been nominated for the car wreck of the day, Total Arlington. Can't nominate a team who's doing better than you are.
Hey, at
kidding?
Least Scherzer and DeGrom are throwing in like double A soon.
Yeah.
You hold as your they, breath on that.
As they make their way back to a mid team.
Are they 9 out now? 10 out?
I nominate the Mariners. Like, you're not below them in the standings. What a dummy. All right, what are you nominating, Brian?
I'm going to nominate. I don't know if you guys saw this news or if you've watched Hard Knocks, but I noticed a different feel for Hard Knocks this year, and I couldn't put my, you know, my thumb on it, but apparently they decided to cut out all cursing from Hard Knocks.
Did they really?
Yeah, because apparently the family that owns the Bears doesn't curse and doesn't like it, so they decided to be polite to the people inviting them into their house to film and cut out all cursing from the show. But Hard Knocks, you know, cut out all cursing this year. Last year, the Jets dictated that they didn't show any of the cuts. Hard Knocks was supposed to be like the unfiltered look at a real, you know, NFL training camp, and it's just become anything but. If you cut out cussing, you cut out cuts, that's not an unfiltered look at NFL training camp. Hard Knocks is becoming increasingly harder and harder to watch each year.
Yeah, and it's already starting to, you know, when you start hearing all these things with the cussing and all that, it's more believable, too, that it's the raw emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. I didn't know they did that. And it really is because of the McCaskey family?
Yeah, I just read a story on it a few minutes
ago. That's awful.
What's wrong with that? I mean, it's their belief. It's their show.
I know. It's not the Bears show. It's the NFL show.
Yeah, it kind of takes
away from... It's a representation of their organization.
Well, right. In the article, they do point out that the family and the team don't cuss as much. That's fine. Well, the show should reflect that. But I'm sure there have been a few cuss words that have been said either during a meeting by an assistant coach or, you know, or by a player on the sidelines. You could show that.
Fields, locker rooms, and otherwise, you don't... I mean,
exactly.
There's cussing every day.
Yeah, on the side. I fully agree that I bet that's a directive from the top. Probably the coach and the general manager don't cuss, but the players on the sideline, in the locker room, an assistant coach in a team meeting room off with his position group, there's some curse words that they could have left.
You think Ryan Pace doesn't cuss, or he doesn't cuss when he's around the McCaskies?
Probably the latter.
Yeah.
I don't know if the quality of a program is good or bad because of that.
I just think it's less authentic.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
That's my point.
I don't have a problem with that, though.
Yeah, it's less authentic.
I like Hard Knocks. Like, you just have to enjoy it for what it is. Like...
I know.
It's not one of the best shows on TV.
It felt like an authentic look or an unfiltered look at NFL training camp, but it's becoming less and less.
Anytime that you mic people up, though, it's probably not going to be authentic.
Sure, but it's getting further and further away from it.
Maybe so. I mean, Hard Knocks is what it is. It's a show that I like to have on in the background as I do other things. Like it's not elite television.
I still look forward to it. But I thought it slipped in the last couple of years.
I thought the offseason one with the Giants was better than this one with the Bears.
I did like the offseason one quite a bit. It was a different look. It was kind of original. It was kind of new. But I'm enjoying the Bears season. I'm liking it. Caleb Williams, his plight as a player in his rookie year. Chicago trying to get back to glory. I've liked this season.
I don't know. It's been very bland to me. I mean, beyond just cutting the cursing out, like Eberflus does not show much emotion. He doesn't have much personality. They show the same, like, boring interview or, like, session between Eberflus and Caleb Williams at some point where they're in his office talking about what he saw, and it's just very bland and boring.
You just said you wanted a real authentic feel. They do that. It's real and authentic.
So bland and boring is authentic.
That's what they
do.
They meet. They meet. You know what coaches and players do? They meet, and they talk.
I know, but it's just the way they present those meetings, it just comes off very scripted.
Do they still have the guy, that the Cinderella story that everybody's pulling for that you're going
to
watch?
There's a couple running back. There's a running back that apparently is going to medical school. They show that. There's a few guys, but it's not as much of the stories, I would say, in past years.
I think it's mostly Caleb Williams.
It's mostly Caleb, yeah.
Which I don't mind. I mean, he's generational. He doesn't feel pressure. Either going to be the greatest quarterback ever or bust.
I saw that he said he's going to paint his nails for every game and that he's not ruled out painting something extremely offensive towards the Packers.
Owners aren't going to like
that. On his nails. Yeah, they're not going to like it either. No.
Surprised they drafted him.
F-word pack?
No. SM would be the first two initials.
What word is that?
I don't. Yeah, I'm not.
And there's one more.
Huh. I'm not picking it up. I don't know.
Just tell us.
No, I'm not going to just tell you. No.
It's 601.
Yeah.
5798 says, heck yeah, Scott Service needs to win something. So I guess that's his nomination for Carrick of the Day, Scott Service, so he can win something. 7560 says, Hard Knocks is the new MTV. MTV's awesome. Well, at least one show on MTV is good.
Still?
I'll only watch one show on MTV.
What show do you watch?
The Challenge.
I've never watched it.
The Challenge is America's fourth big sport.
Isn't that
bigger than hockey?
I don't think I've watched MTV in 15 years.
Isn't that CBS show that does the same thing where they're challenged?
The Challenge was on CBS once.
No, but there's a CBS show where you get the two people, all the teams that
the
do
Amazing
all
the, Race.
There you go.
It's a little different.
Okay,
it's cooler. Yeah, the Challenge is America's fourth big sport.
Is that the one that JP France's wife did?
She was on The Real World, and I think she did a couple of seasons of The Challenge. Yeah. MTV Jess, I believe she did. Yeah, The Challenge is awesome. Better than Hard Knocks. Somebody wanted to nominate B-Mac for calling Elijah Moore a bum multiple times, car wreck.
I called him a bum.
Yeah. So that's why you're the car wreck.
Oh, I thought you said bun, like I mispronounced it.
I might have said bun, but meant bum. And then somebody said Joe George, but didn't give us the reason. All right, what's winning?
Mariners.
All right, Mariners, congratulations, you win. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He's blank on Branham. Talk to you tomorrow from Carbox. So long, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.
This week on Sunday Night Baseball.
Jordan Alvarez has done it with a three-run blast in the bottom of the ninth.
While the Houston Astros sit high atop the AL West, the Baltimore Orioles are fighting for the top of the AL East. And they go head-to-head at Camden Yards this weekend.
The Orioles fans know it. A massive shot for Gunnar Henderson.
Game coverage begins Sunday at 5 on ESPN 97.5.